Good day to you, and thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this audio teaching. The teaching you're about to hear is delivered by Ian Roberts, who is a spiritual son to us and has a powerful testimony of how the grace of God has delivered him from addictive behavior. He will also share some principles concerning the spiritual root of addictive behavior and how to be set free by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and His grace from any form of addiction. I encourage you to listen carefully and to be enriched by His testimony and the truths that He will share. Bless you.
Good evening, everyone. Greet you all in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd just like to if you could just stand once and just all of us just stand and let's just open in prayer. I think what the Lord laid on my heart is for us to pray about. You know, there's a scripture that says when He sends His word out, they were healed. I know there's some of you all that have got family members there that are suffering with addictions. So as the word goes out, let's ask God for that He'll set them free. So we pray for deliverance, number one. We pray for the miracle of regeneration, the miracle of you know, people being born again. Let's pray that the captives are set free. Let's pray for all our loved ones that are not here, because the word can go forth and set them free wherever they are. So if you can just, for 2 minutes, just mention them by name. You'll know who they are, and if you can just mention them by name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, this evening we come to You in the name of Your only begotten Son, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, this evening we thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we can be found in Your presence this afternoon. Heavenly Father, we pray that as Your word goes forth today, that there will be deliverance, Father God, that there will be healing in spirit, soul, and body. Heavenly Father, we pray that as Your word goes forth today, Father, that there will be the miracle of new birth that will take place here, Father God. Heavenly Father, we pray that the captives will be set free this evening. Father, we pray that minds will be opened today, Father God. Lord, we pray that the eyes of our hearts will be enlightened today, Father God. Heavenly Father, we pray for restoration in every area of our lives, Father God. Lord, we bring our family members this afternoon, all our unsafe family members. Father, we pray that You will have grace and mercy upon them, Father, that they'll come to the knowledge of the truth, Father God. And Father, we pray for their salvation today. Father, we pray for the gift of salvation here today, Father God. Heavenly Father, Father, we thank You that You've brought us here tonight, Father. You've brought us here for a reason, Father God. And Lord, whatever that reason, Lord, I pray that You'll minister Holy Spirit to every one of our hearts here tonight. Father, I pray that we will walk out here, Father God, with restoration, Father. Heavenly Father, we love You. Lord Jesus, we love You. Holy Spirit, we love You. You are welcome here. Holy Spirit, move in this place today. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You that all Your promises are yea and amen in Jesus. Heavenly Father, we pray and we thank You. We thank You for everything that You have done, is doing, and will do in our lives. Father, we thank You. We give You all the glory, praise, and honor. Heavenly Father, we ask You this in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Tonight, I actually was preparing a whole thesis. But, you know, as I went along, I felt that the Spirit of God was speaking to me. And you just said that, you know, I need you to speak from my heart. And, you know, so most of what I've prepared, I'll just speak from my heart and you know, just speak as we go along. We'd like to welcome everyone here today in the name of Jesus. Firstly, I'd like to say, you know, a big thank you to our pastor, Pastor Randolph and Pastor Renee, and the elders and saints of Gates Ministries for allowing me to share my testimony today. You know, I really believe Psalm 37 verse 4 says, take delight in the Lord and He will give you your heart's desires. What that scripture means is, take delight in the Lord, He will give you your heart's desires. It means that, it doesn't mean that God will give you whatever you desire. It means that he'll give you the right desires according to his word. So I know there's a lot of people that are here tonight that are desiring deliverance for their loved ones. Maybe there's some people battling, with addictive natures and personalities. Deliverance, that desire for you to find deliverance was put there by God. So you can be rest assured God is well able to deliver and set you free. Amen. Also, Psalm 34, verse 17 to 18 says, the Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. So tonight, I think, you know, I just want to basically speak about what the overall theme, what tonight's about. You know, the introduction of this ministry that's called Rock Recovery. We're just going to go through basic overall themes because, you know, we can't go too in-depth, obviously, because there's so much to it. So I'm just going to touch on overall themes as I move through what I have prepared. And, we'll take it from there. I also just going to touch briefly on the spiritual aspects of addiction and the natural aspects of addiction because, you know, everything, I just want to read the scripture over here. Ephesians 5 verse 18 says, Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. So what the scripture says is that there's an unseen world. So what we need to understand, a lot of the times, the things that manifest in the natural has a spiritual root. And so you can't resolve some issues in the natural. You've got to resolve it in the spiritual realm because that's the causal, that's the root of where everything happens. So there is an unseen world and there's a seen world. But it's important for us to understand the roots of you know, how things develop. This year marks 10 years that I've been set free. So I can get an amen for the Lord. 10 years. If you told me one day that I'll be speaking in a church and giving testimony to the goodness of God and the love of God. And, you know, I would have never, ever, ever have believed it then. But I just want to encourage you as I speak here today that I am a living testimony of the grace of God. So no matter what you've gone through, no matter how you think your family will or you will never find deliverance from addiction, today I'm standing here in front of you as a testimony to the grace of God. And God can set you free. God has set you free. It's up to you to discover what he has done through the finished work of his son, Jesus, and the finished work at Calvary. So on that note, I'd also just like to say a quick thank you. You know, God has really blessed me with three very important women in my life. My wife, Josette, my mother, Frida, and my mother in love, Jennifer. You know, I've really had three very strong women in my life that have really, really, really helped me through the darkest moments of my life. I really believe, and I want to give God all the glory for them. They've really, really helped me. They've prayed for me. They've understood. They've lovingly. Let me say this. How many of you all know that living with an addict is a nightmare? Do you all know living with an addict is a nightmare? I can't begin to tell you half the stuff that I've done, half the stuff that I've been through. 10 years later, I'm still trying to make, trying to make amends with some things in my life. And so it's a long road, but God is gracious. God is graceful. And it's only by his grace and mercy that I'm standing here today. So like I said, tonight, I just want to touch a little bit about myself, what addiction is. Why do people engage in destructive, self-destructing behaviors? How my addiction started and where it landed me. What I tried to do, how I finally received freedom, and how to help a loved one overcome. Well, I basically mentioned a little about myself. My name is Ian, and I grew up in Sydenham. In a block of flats called Sydenham Heights. You know, there's three blocks of flats, and there was about, I think, roughly about 300 families living in a closed proximity, you know, sort of setup. And I had parents that, you know, went to work every day. And growing up, I realized that a lot of my addiction started actually in primary school. You know, the simple things, and I just want to say to parents, the simple things like, you know, playing like heads and tails. You know, heads and tails, you spin a coin, heads and tails. And I remember back early in my days that's where it started for me. In primary school already, we were playing heads and tails for money. And so I just want to say to parents, be careful. You know, watch your children, the games they play. You know, don't let your children play at cards, because from there, simple stuff like that, it develops into greater things. And that's where essentially it started for me. What is addiction? But I'm going to go through, like, as I speak, I'll speak about everything that I've been through, what addictions I suffered with, and, you know, how God set me free. John 8, verse 32 says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So I want to challenge you all today on the scripture. "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." If knowledge of truth sets free, if knowledge of truth sets free, then believing a lie is what keeps you in bondage. That's essentially what it is. Addiction in its root is essentially habitual sin. That's what addiction is. It's sin that you continuously do, that you got no other way of getting out of it. You don't know how to stop it, because addiction is actually spiritual bondage. That's what it is. Addiction is a stronghold that has taken root in the mind as a result of believing a lie. So it takes a root in your mind, and it's like, you know, it starts off very, very casually. You know, like all sin promises you pleasure, but the end result is bondage. That's essentially what it is. So the root of addiction is a deep-seated lie as a result of a misbelief about God, self, and life. It's a counterfeit for being filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5 verse 18 says, "Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit." Okay. Why do people engage in self-destructing behaviors? So why do people do it? So I'm going to speak about, like, you know, like the natural reasons why they do it, and obviously the spiritual aspect behind it. Well, essentially, in its core form, their basic needs are not being met in a legitimate way, and they've not learned how to cope with the problems of life. If you look at somebody that's in an addictive lifestyle, you'll find out they're abusing substances in most cases because they haven't learned how to deal with the problems of everyday life. And so they look for a substance that thinks that, you know what, it's going to take them away from the problem. But I'll just describe a few characteristics of addiction as well. You'll find out that people that are an addictive lifestyle or generally have one of these reasons. Number one, they're either parting the problems away, a peer group pressure, the rebellion game, the great escape, and the survivor mode. So I'll explain a little bit, just touch on everything. Like, for example, with me, mine was mainly, as a youngster, growing up in a poor environment. For me, the need that I had is that I always believed that there was more to life. And you know, there's a scripture that says, "Do not covet." So when I used to go to school, I used to see my friends coming there with cars. They're going home, you know, to homes and everything. And we were going home to a small little flat. And so for me, as a young age, I became rebellious against my father, because I felt that, hey, he should have been doing that for me. But hey, I'm coming home here and be struggling here. You know what I mean? Even though my father was a hard worker. And so for me, that thing to be better than my father drove me. I said, hey, I'm never going to be like this. I'm going to always work and, you know, make sure that my family has everything. And so that thinking in my life drove me to make money through any means. But my biggest addictions that I had were gambling and drinking. Those are the two main things. And from there flowed everything else. You know, so for me, when I felt, hey, I was short of money, I would try and go find ways to make money, and I would go gamble. And so what essentially happened, the worst thing I tell people all the time, the worst thing that can happen to a gambler is he can walk into a casino and win the first time. Worst thing. Because I walked into a casino. I'm talking about coming from Sydenham Heights. I walked into a casino, and at one stage, I won like 100,000 in one night. And that was the worst thing that ever happened, because I went back and I gambled. I don't even tell you how much more, but I went back and gambled everything. And from there, it was just a repetitive lifestyle for me. I would always find, and let me say something now, gambler's a liar. I was a liar. I let my family down. I lied to everybody in my life. I made a means to gamble when I wanted to. A gambler is somebody that's in self-denial. You know, all the people in addictive lifestyles, they are in denial. I never thought I had a problem. So I was in continuous denial of what I was going through in my life. I refused to believe that, you know, I had a problem. But obviously, you know, when you hit rock bottom and you lose everything, you realize you got a problem and you got to sort it out somehow. So for me, part of my problems is to get away from all the stress. I used to party my problems away, going drink and get drunk and, you know, didn't want to ever face reality. But the next day when I woke up, the problems were still there. I still had to face those issues in my life. And, you know, I always tell people that the night when you're drinking is all fun and everything, but the next day, that depression hits you like a ton of bricks. The remorse, the shame, because you can't even remember half the stuff you've done. You've let yourself down. You know that you're killing yourself, but you just don't know how to stop this. You know what I mean? So these are all the things that you go through. So the other reason is the peer pressure. You know, you get youngsters in school. This is one of the main problems at the moment. You know, to fit in with their friends are doing it. So they want to start doing it, you know. And obviously, you know, that they want to be as grown-ups, they want to be people that fit in, you know, into society. So you find out that they sort of get addicted and have that addictive lifestyle, because it starts off as fun. But once it takes root and, you know, it sorts you out. The rebellion game, you know, most youngsters are dabbling in drugs and that are addicted. It's because it's out of rebellion to their parents. You know, they don't want authority in their life. So what they normally do is they find the escape route and obviously they start taking drugs. The great escape, well, I spoke about that. You know, as a person addicted to alcohol and gambling, I never wanted to face reality. So for me, partying and going to get drunk was a way to escape reality. You know, I didn't want to face it. If I was drunk, I never had to think about my life and the situation that I was in. And obviously, some people, they use substance abuses for, you know, as a survival method. For them, it's like, hey, I can't survive if I don't have this thing. So there's different mindsets in terms of people and how they abuse it. But that's more or less the characteristics. I briefly mentioned, you know, like how my addiction started. I believe that, you know, there's a scripture that says bad company corrupts good character. And, you know, growing up in an environment where we were exposed to this, you know, drug dealers on every corner, you sit in it, you know the people that are selling drugs, they're your friends. So you're exposed to all of that. So, you know, you don't look like the weakling. So you automatically, you know, going and get stuck into all of this. And so for me, I really believe that the root of all of that was already in primary school. You know, and growing up as I progressed into high school, it just got worse. Because I started off with flipping a coin. I ended off where I was playing blackjack, and I don't know if you know what blackjack is, playing blackjack and roulette. And I mean, I used to go to all the casinos, they used to book me in, they knew me. I mean, I had, you know, I used to, and that's the level that I was at when God set me free, delivered me and set me free and saved me. I was at that level. So that's how it progressed. Like I've mentioned, you know, just briefly, I just want to briefly touch on something. You know, even though that's how it manifests in the natural, to all of this, there's a spiritual side to it. And it's something that we all need to understand. The thing is that, I always go back to the same scripture, then you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. If you don't know the truth of a situation, you'll never be able to experience the freedom of that situation. God can set you free, but you can still be in bondage because you don't understand what Christ has done through his finished work at Calvary. So it's important for you to understand the element of truth. And that has been part of my testimony, which I'll explain to you as we go along. But I just want to touch on something. You know, I always say the root cause of everything is from the spiritual realm. So I want to touch on a few scriptures and explain to you the roots of how this develops and manifest in the natural, because at the end of the day, we need to understand that we're all born with a fallen nature because of Adam. So we need to understand our fallen nature, and we need to understand what imputed sin is from Adam, because at the end of the day, the root cause of everything boiled right back down to that. So we need to go right back into history to understand at the root cause, why am I the way I am? And then understand, because once you understand that, your deliverance will come. Christ will set you free through his word. And what I realize is that, you know, God is so awesome. When I got saved, I didn't fully understand what had happened to me. But when I started reading the word of God, and I understood how miraculously God did this to me, it blew my mind. You know, the way he did it. So God will save you sometimes, you not knowing how he fully did it, because he doesn't want you to ever think that it was you that did it. He doesn't ever want you to think it was me that came and made the choices. Yes, you made the choices, but under those choices, it was God who chose you. That's why you could choose him. You couldn't come on your own. So we must get out of that thing thinking, hey, it's all about me. No, I made a choice. No, you made a choice because God first chose you. It was that foundation that enabled you to choose God. So Genesis 2, 16 to 17 says, but the Lord God warned him, this is Adam, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. The consequences of disobedience would be immediate spiritual death and eventual physical death. Romans 5 verse 12 says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Jeremiah 17, 19 says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who knows how bad it is? So what I want you to understand from the scriptures is that we have all, every single person born from Adam and Eve has inherited sinful natures, and we've inherited imputed sin. Now, I just want to briefly touch on the difference between original sin and imputed sin. Original sin essentially is our sinful natures. Because of Adam and Eve, we're born with a sinful nature. So the sinful nature in us is not lovers of the light, it's lovers of the darkness. So that's what we are when we're naturally born. And so because of Adam, we are all born with a fallen nature. It's inherent in us. It's a morally ruined character. It manifests itself throughout our lives in actual sins. The actions, the thoughts, and feelings we have that violate God's moral commands. Our sinful hearts cause us to make sinful choices, think sinful thoughts, and feel sinful feelings. So the imputed sin, that's original sin, our fallen nature. The guilt of Adam's sin is credited not just to Adam himself, but to us all. Because of Adam's sin, we never only inherited a sinful nature. The sin that Adam committed was accounted to us because we were in Adam's loins. So we also got guilty of his sin. We are regarded as having sinned in Adam and hence as deserving of the same punishment. That is imputed sin. Thus, we have not only polluted, we not only received polluted and sinful natures because of Adam's sin, but we are also regarded as having sinned in Adam, such that we are guilty of his act as well. Imputed sin is the ruin of our standing before God and is thus not an internal quality, but an objective reckoning of guilt. Whereas original sin is the ruin of our character and thus is a reference to internal qualities. Both original sin and imputed sin place us under the judgment of God. Because of what Adam did, we automatically are born with sinful natures, and it places us under the judgment of God. With that is that we are under the wrath of God. So I always tell people, your greatest problem is not your addiction. Your greatest problem is that when you are unsaved, you are under the wrath of God. And the wrath of God is going to come for you. That is the long and the short of the matter. I need to tell you this because I don't want you to make it seem as though we're sugarcoating. Hey, come here, get your deliverance from from addiction, when that's not the greatest problem. Your greatest problem is that you are the wrath of God. Whoever doesn't have the Son, the wrath of God is on him, and it's going to come for him. So we need to understand the importance of what this is. Amen. So I'll explain to you through the finished work of Jesus and the cross, how God has taken care of our sinful natures and how he's taken care of the sin that we inherited from Adam. In that scriptures, I'll explain to you the end of that. So let me just go on and say this here. What I tried to do, I was going to read a scripture over here first. John 8, verse 34 to 36. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the son sets you free, you are truly free." So I just want to explain a couple of things that I tried to do, you know, to stop gambling. The first thing I did was I actually banned myself from all the casinos. I went, you can ask my wife. I went to my wife, and my wife said to me, "You better go and ban yourself or else it's going to be trouble." So I said to my wife, "Fine. Yeah, let's go." I banned myself. Anyway, I banned myself from the casino. But let me tell you, and a person that's an addict is so sly. I banned myself from the casino, but you know where I should go sit? Hollywood. So what I'm trying to say to you is that I went from casinos to horse racing. So you'll find out that a person with an addictive personality will find other ways to do what he wants to do to feed that sin, to feed that habit. And so I started, horse racing. And so that's the one thing I did. So banning myself from the casinos never helped me. What I then did is I then went to Gamblers Anonymous. I went to Gamblers Anonymous. That made me worse of a gambler. I came out of there and I was even worse of a gambler. I went back, you know, and I gambled more after that. It's because in Gamblers Anonymous, I want to be honest with you, they teach you that, you know, that you must acknowledge that you are a gambler, firstly, that you have an addictive personality, and that you need a higher power. But they don't say that higher power is Jesus, because everybody's sitting there that's from different religions. It's not from one religion. So there it's become very watered down. You know, it's not. You see, like AA was very powerful. The 12-step program was very powerful, because if you look at this early initial stages, they used to decree and declare that Jesus, the 12-step program was actually based on biblical principles in the Word of God. But as time progressed, it became so watered down that now it's everybody must, it's a higher power. So, you know, that's part of the problem there. So those are some of the things that I tried to do, you know, to find freedom. But nothing worked, because if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. So the long and the short of the matter is not about what we try and do. It's about really understanding what Christ has already done through his finished work at Calvary. So I tried everything. Nothing worked. It was because I needed to come to a place where I needed to understand what Jesus did for me through the finished work at Calvary. And that's the only way. Every way, even any other addiction, doesn't matter whether you are alcoholic, a gambler, whether you're watching pornography, whether you have a lust problem, the root of the problem is all the root of the problem is same, and the way to find deliverance is all the same. That's why everybody is, if it's a different way that it comes through, the root of it all is there's only deliverance in the name of Jesus. Only Jesus can set you free. And that's how I received my freedom. The thing is that, you know, when we focus on what we do, we are depending on ourselves. And that's what the law does. You know, you're trying to keep the law. And nobody can keep the law, because if you break one rule, you've broken all the rules in the law. So that's why we say by grace through faith and not of our own works. The thing is that we've got to, and you know, I just want to read a couple of scriptures over here. You know, like I said, you know, when I first got saved, you know, I used to tell people, "Hey, you know, I gave my heart to the Lord. But as I started reading the scriptures, I started discovering so much about the goodness of God. You know, I'll just read a few things over here. John 6, verse 4 says, "For no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me, and at the last day I will raise them up." John 15, verse 16 says, "You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name." So in those scriptures, what I realized, that as much as that I made a decision, The foundation of the decision was God drawing me. It was God, all God. And because he chose me from before the foundation of the world, he chose me. So when I got a revelation of that, it blew my mind that I couldn't understand, you know, because I like, hey, how come one day I woke up, I had all these desires. The next day I got up and these desires were gone. You know what I mean? And I realized that, you know, it was only the grace of God. Only the grace of God. So I just want to say, you know, in ending off, what happened with me was I'd lived a life about 20 years of debauchery. I'm talking about from the age of 14. I'm talking about that's when I started drinking, I think the earliest I could remember. From about 14 to about 35, I lived a life of gambling, of drinking, of... You know, I let so many people down. You know, I thank God so much that is allowed, you know, allowed my mother to you know to for her to forgive me, for my wife to forgive me, for my mother-in-law to love me unconditionally. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, when you break somebody's trust, you can't expect them to. It's not an overnight thing. It's not an overnight thing, you know. You, and you know, for me, I did so much bad things because I continuously broke their trust. So I'm just saying that you know, it didn't happen. They didn't. It took a long time for my family to start trusting me again. It took a long, long time, but I know God is able. God is able. So you know, I just want to say that. I'm really thankful to God. I'm really thankful to the Lord, you know, and to the spirits of God for what they've done in my life. So I just want to end off by saying this. How can we help, you know, a loved one? You know, I've just been mentioning that I thank God that I had a support structure. I had people that loved me unconditionally. You know, because without their love, I don't know where I would have been. You know, I've had praying mother all my life. I've had praying females in my life that always prayed for me. And my situation, you know, where it ended off me, how I came to the end of this life of addiction is that 10 years ago, on the 27th of December, I landed off in ICU. 14 days in ICU through pancreatitis because I drank myself into hospital. Drank myself into hospital. 14 days I was in ICU. And you know, I was in the hospital and I remember, you know, I saying, hey, you know, Lord, because I mean I grew up like in the Catholic Church. I grew up going to church, you know, but I never had a relationship with God. And for me, I landed off in ICU 14 days and I was laying in a hospital bed and I said, hey, you know, God, please just save me. You know, don't let me die. And I really believe that God saved me spiritually, not only death, you know, regeneration, even, you know, all of that there. And I thank God for that. So that's how my journey of addiction came to an end. You know, I hit rock bottom and I thank God, you know, I had a praying wife and she started taking me back to church and that's how everything, you know, how God used them in my life. But I know it was only the finished work of Jesus and Calvary. You know, from there, I started understanding. I started reading the word, I even ended up in Bible college from there. God took me to Bible college. I studied, I've managed by the grace of God to achieve so much. And, you know, like I say today, I'm only standing by the grace of God. When I had finished that whole episode, when I came to the end of myself, because part of the thing is that, people that are suffering with addictions, they're very embarrassed. They don't want to. They'll hide. They'll duck. It's only when they hit rock bottom, and you know, there's nowhere out, do they really look for help. So, what advice could I give you all? You know, as family that are suffering with loved ones, be led by the Spirit in terms of what you need to do. Pray and take action when you need to. You know, sometimes an addict won't come forward. Sometimes there has to be an intervention. You know, but God will lead you in terms of what you need to do. I mean, don't let that thing progress. Get it sorted out. Where do you got to take him? You know, sometimes, you know, there's some very good interventions. But whatever it is you need to do, God will give you at that point what you need to do. Love that person through. Don't be scared to take hard action. Because there's times you take hard action. Like I tell you, what I put my mother through. My mother, whenever I was in trouble, I would tell my mother, you know what, go cash up insurance policies. Go cash up insurance policies. I need the money. And I made my mother cash up plenty of insurance policies. But what that was doing was wasn't solving my problem. It was just servicing the gambling. So my mother came to a point where she said, no more. I don't care what you do. You're getting nothing anymore. And hey, I used to fight with them, you know, for a long time. And so I'm saying that you need to take action, even if it's you do it in love. But whether they understand it or not, I know that God will bring everything. God will make everything work. So just be positive in that regard. So I just want to round off by saying this. You know, I said in Romans 5 verse 12. I really just want to read this Romans 5 verse 12 to 21. I started off by saying the root cause of sin is this. When Adam sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Yes, people sinned even before the law was given, but it was not counted as sin because there was not yet any law to break. Still, everyone died. From the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not disobey an explicit commandment of God as Adam did. Now Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ who was yet to come. But there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and a new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I just want to round off and just say this. This is God's gracious gift, God's wonderful grace, and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus. It's a gift. That's why no matter what we do, we can never earn it. That's why I could never find freedom. You have to receive it. You have to receive it. Also, God's wonderful grace. With the grace that God gives us, he gives us the gift of righteousness. Remember I spoke about our sinful nature? When we trust in Jesus, because it says that we are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. When we trust in him, we receive Christ's imputed righteousness. That's why we become the righteousness of God. That's why God sent his son to die for us. It's because of Adam's sin. So we can't say, hey, God, you know what? You sent Adam. Why? How come Adam's sin is imputed to me? I never sinned personally. God made a way through his son to sort that problem out. And that's why we're justified by faith. Justification by faith, by the grace of God. And so with that, we get a free gift of righteousness. And for all the sinful will triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. So Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. So just in rounding off, I just want to say that the only way that you'll ever find freedom is not based on what we do, but based on what we believe. That's the foundation of receiving freedom in Christ. Amen.
Wow, awesome. Thank you so much, Ian. Amen. And if the Lord has done it for Ian, the Lord can do it for you. Amen. And what he's done for others, he can do for you. Hallelujah. I just want to round off. I don't think it's necessary for me to go through some of the things that I've prepared, except just to say one or two things. The gift of righteousness by faith is how we receive the grace of God. And as Ian rightly said, it's a matter of reception. It's a matter of not striving to earn it or to merit it, but it's a matter of just positioning yourself to receive what the Lord has already done for you. And as Ian was speaking, I sense the great love of God for humanity. The Lord is very, very concerned and tremendously in love with people. It's for people that he died. For God so loved the world that he gave his life. And he gave his life for humanity. It must ail his heart to see humanity being bound by sin. It must touch a chord deeply within his being to see people being bound and function subserviently to sin as their master. And I know that for you this evening, some of you are here that might be struggling with one or two things. I want you to know tonight, the Lord loves you. The Lord loves you intensely. You have no idea of how much his heart is moved with such compassion and love when he sees you in any addictive form of behavior, because he knows within his eternal will for your life that is not his desire for you. His desire for you is that you live free. You break free. You live as his son in the earth, and that you don't live as a normal man, having the sin of Adam imputed to you, and that sin bind you, dictate the course of your life, keep you in bondage, destroy your life, take away your joy, your contentment. That's not God's will for you. The fact that some of you perhaps who are that way inclined are here tonight proves your desire for freedom. Hallelujah. And there is help tonight. There is help tonight by the power of the Lord Jesus. John 1:17 says that the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Amen. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth came, was realized through Jesus Christ. What the law could not accomplish, the law is a set of regulations, an imposition upon man that places great store in his ability to maintain that standard and therefore find acceptance with God. What that could not do, grace could do through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I think if I'm hearing what Ian said correctly, the Lord wants you to take a step back from you trying in your flesh to get free. The realization to get free is one thing. The fact that you need help, you must come to that place of acknowledgement. I need help. And that's the first step. But to get there is not dependent upon anything primarily that you need to do of your own to gain any sort of empowerment to accomplish your overcoming of that sin. It's a matter of reception of an empowerment that only God or the Lord Jesus Christ can give you through his grace. It's an amazing thing. Everyone say, just believe. Say, just receive. It's amazing when you simply position yourself and you say, I've done all that I can to do and know what to do, and look where it still landed me. And then from this vantage point to say, now God, I need you. I lay it all down and I simply focus on you, and I need an imposition of your grace. I need an influx, a download of you, the person, the Lord Jesus Christ, by which grace comes. Repeat this after me. Grace comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Lord gave him, when his father sent him to the earth to pay the price, the penalty for your sin and for my sin, when we receive the gift of salvation by receiving him into our hearts, by inviting him and say, I've tried, I've failed, now I need you more than ever before. When you receive him, as Ian said, you're not just receiving and committing your heart to the Lord, as it were. Yes, you are doing that, but you are receiving something called grace. Everyone say grace. You are receiving an ability, an empowerment. Just one last verse, 1 Peter 2, verse 2, I think, and 3. 1 Peter 2, or 2 Peter, I think it is. Just check my notes. 2 Peter 1, verse 2 and 3. 2 Peter 1, verse 2 and 3 says the following. We shan't be long. 2 Peter 1, 2 and 3. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord, or Jesus our Lord. So grace is imparted to you in the knowledge. Everyone say, in the knowledge. Now, to know him is to receive his grace. To know him is to receive his grace. And the more you know him, the more grace impartation is given unto you. Verse 2 and verse 3 says the following. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and excellence. Let's go back to the second verse. Verse 2 says, grace. Everyone say grace. So Ian said that through Adam's sin, there was the imposition of sin, imputation of sin to us, and the result of that sin, which would be death, separation from God, and living life in the earth, being totally subservient to sin as your master, all these addictive behaviors dictating the course of your life, you're powerless to oppose it in your own strength, right? But he also said, but by the righteous act of one individual, the Lord Jesus Christ, he paid the price for your sin, and by the gift of his righteousness, you receive grace. Verse 17 of Romans 5 says, that causes you to reign in life. I love that scripture. Everyone say, reign in life. Reign. Come on, just bump your neighbor and say, you're going to reign in life. Reign. Hallelujah. In other words, sin does not be your master anymore, but you look to it and you dictate to it. Not you in your own strength. Obviously, it's the grace of the Lord Jesus now that you receive. You can say, wow, you dominated my life for so long. But now I stand and I dictate to you. Not I, but the Lord's power within me. Grace is not simply unmerited favor. Look at this verse. Everyone say grace. It says grace. And then verse 3 says, watch. Verse 3 says this. His divine power has granted to us everything that we need for life and for godliness. Everyone say divine power. So really, grace is what? Grace is divine power, divine enablement, divine empowerment. Where you are unable, God's grace in you is able. Where you are disempowered, when you receive the grace, it's an empowering capacity. It facilitates your reign and your rule over every vice, every addictive behavior that perhaps has dominated your thinking or your life for so long. It's not up to you, really. It's up to the grace of God in you. If you know how to receive that grace, I promise you, you can get victory over any vice, over every sinful habit by the grace of God. Peter teaches us, 3:7 I think it is, that the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness, to say no to ungodliness. Yeah? And I want to encourage you, that capacity, that ability is here this evening. Amen. Would you stand with me? We're going to pray. I want to encourage us all to, whether we know God or not, I believe this is for everybody this evening. You will be amazed at how many that even claim to be sons of God battle with certain issues. Everything is overcome by the grace of God. If you know how to access this grace, it will be divine empowerment is divine enablements that gives you everything for both life and for godliness. Everyone say godliness. Like some of you are striving, Lord, I want to live this life of godliness. It's by His divine enablement. It's by His divine power that He has given us that capacity to live a life that's pleasing unto Him. Amen. So would you lift your hands to the Lord? Amen. Lift your hands to the Lord. I counseled someone in the week with addictive behavior, and my heart melted with such love, empathy, compassion. I wish you could jump in their shoes and make the decisions for them and demonstrate how to live an overcoming life. But it's all a matter of just you personally receiving the gift of Christ tonight. Amen. So lift your hands to the Lord. Open up your heart. If you don't know the Lord tonight, by faith, receive Him tonight. To say, Lord Jesus, I open my heart and I receive your free gift of righteousness, your free gift of grace. I receive in receiving you, I am receiving your divine enablements by which I can live a godly life and an overcoming life. I receive that tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lift your hands to the Lord. Father, we thank you for your goodness and for your grace. As we lift our hands to you, we realize that for by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God, we stand here this evening in your presence with total reliance upon you. We lift up our hands, and for those of us that don't know you, God, we receive you as our Lord and as our Savior into our hearts and lives tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. I thank you that grace now fills us. The gift of eternal life now fills us in Jesus' name. The gift of righteousness, now we receive it by faith in Jesus' name. Divine enablement, now we receive it from your hands, my Father, our Father, in Jesus' name. As we receive the Lord Jesus, we receive grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth has come through his death on the cross. You've paid the price for my sin. Now by faith, I receive that gift. Thank you for washing away our sins. Thank you for forgiving us from all and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. Your word says that if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and that you are just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Just go ahead in your hearts right now. And just if you fail the Lord in any respect, just confess it to Him right now. The Bible says He is faithful and He is just. God, by His grace, I can guarantee you, God, by His grace, forgives you this instant in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness to forgive. We receive your love tonight. And I ask, oh God, that for those of us that have made this transition, we declare that by your Spirit that we are the sons of God now in the name of Jesus. We declare that your Spirit will witness with our spirits that we indeed are the sons of God. I thank you, O God, for you've rescued men and women from the domain of darkness and you transfer them into the kingdom of the Son of your love. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lift up your hands just one more time. Just a quick prayer before we dismiss. Quick prayer. I really feel that God's going to honor many of you that have some kind of addiction. God's going to honor your desire for freedom. Can't explain this. I just heard the Lord saying, tell them I will honor their desire. I will honor. Because like Ian said, I have chosen them from before the foundations of the earth. Tonight is just a platform for you to respond to His already choice of you. He chose you beforehand. Today it's just an opportunity to say, yes, thank you for that. No man comes to the Father unless he is drawn, unless he is wooed, unless he is called. The Bible says even when we repent, it's only the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Hallelujah. Just lift up your hands, everybody. Let's all of us do it. Lift up your hands and just thank Him. Just go ahead, open your heart. Just thank Him for freedom. Just thank Him for your deliverance. Come on, even if you're saved tonight, just thank Him that He chose you. Thank you. Just thank the Lord that left to yourself, you would have been ruined. But He chose us. He rescued us. He saved us. We are the sons of God in the earth. What a God. What a Savior. What a Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, that I'm selected, elected in you before the foundation of the earth. And it's all up to you. Your power at work in me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We receive that ability. We receive that ability tonight. It's not up to us. It's all your work in us. For God who works in us both to will and to do. We bless you. We honor you. We magnify your name. We bless you, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, it could have been us. When we see so many addicts, it could have been us. It could have been any one of us. Your love and your grace has been abundant. What a Savior. What a God. We bless you. So now I pray great grace and peace be everybody's portion. The power of God rest upon you. The ability of the Lord rest upon you. That thing you are struggling with, by the power and by the authority of the Lord Jesus, we break it now in Jesus' mighty name. I declare it will not rule you. It will not dominate you. By the authority of the Lord Jesus, be free tonight in Jesus' name. Be free, totally free in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let this grace fill your heart tonight in Jesus' name. Freedom. Come on, high five a few people and say, I am free. Come on, tell a few people, I am free. Hallelujah. I am free. Come on, tell a few people, I am free.